Hey, it's Thursday night. You're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio. I'm Chip Gibson, your host on Thursday, and we're getting off for the weekend. It's Labor Day weekend. Labor Day, and you take day off, right? So, in the house already, showing up early, we've got Dennis Spike. Spike is in from California. What's up, Spike?
Kayakfishing.com. The big waves are hitting. Labor Day weekend is like the beginning of fishing season for me, so I'm real excited about this.
Yeah? So you're going to go out and catch some this weekend?
I think I'm going to go out and catch some for the next 2 months. That's really what my plan is. The salmon are still here. Come the end of October, the Dungeness crab will be back in season. We've got, for the first time in many years, the shallow water rockfish, lingcod and cabezon series, the coastal fishing that's so great up in central and northern California. It's scheduled to run through the end of the year. So as long as the weather holds out, we're going to be on the water.
Cool. And like with pictures, documentation, that kind of stuff, right?
Proof, evidence of the catch. You know, it's funny, too, because for all those years I was fishing Malibu, we always looked forward to Labor Day weekend because the kids are back in school. There's more couples than families traveling and doing the tourist thing. And it's like everybody who lives within an hour of the coast kind of gets their beaches back after Labor Day. And up here we get less fog. We've hardly seen the sun this summer north of San Francisco. So we get less fog and real balmy days on the California coast. I'm looking forward to it.
Right. So Spiker, man, I don't mean any disrespect. I've known you now for, I don't know, 6 or 7 months, and you seem to be a really great guy. But I have this vision of you, like, in this kind of frayed straw hat, living in a beach shack, you know, with some surfboards out front, and the kayaks laying out, you know, maybe stacked up in the corner and all. Like, you know, like some old Gidget movie.
What? You know, I tried to play that role for a while when I moved to Mexico. But that's a funny thing. When I started this, my kayak fishing business and started writing and getting into the sport, it was really the beginning of the internet era. And it was, you know, that was a big part of how the sport got so big so fast was through online communication. But when I realized that, you know, with a good telephone line and a good computer connection, most businesses anymore can be run from anywhere. So being single and all that, back in the mid, about 2005, I went down full-time to the Cabo area, Cabo San Lucas, and worked at one of the fishing resorts down, or actually lived at one of the fishing resorts, ran my business and, you know, did some guiding of the hotel guests. And I was living that Gilligan kind of lifestyle. I had a house on the beach. It was very, very cool. But eventually you got to come to reality. And as fate would have it, once I gave up hope on meeting the right girl, she dropped right in my lap, and I followed her up here to Northern California.
I was just going to say there was a woman involved.
It always ends that way, doesn't it? For me, it kind of started that way. You know, it's funny, too, because I'm in Sonoma County. A lot of people know Sonoma and Napa from the wine thing. And it is just one part of California that is so easy to drive by your entire life without taking that left or right-hand turn off the highway. Mm-hmm. And when I came up here because of Michelle, I was just blown away at the fishery, the forest, the accessibility to an airport, everything. I don't know how I didn't find this before, but it's a wonderful spot. And as the fisheries come back, I mean, well, even with limited fishing in a lot of the fishery, we still manage to get out every month and we're able to fish or crab or do something.
Right. Well, just had to pull that one on you, man. Let me say hi to the other.
I appreciate that. I appreciate it. Most people give me, they see the picture and they go, oh, this guy's got to have a Harley. And and I don't.
No.
I don't.
No, I don't see you as a Harley guy, man. No. Let me say hi to the rest of the guys here in the row. Dino Bowling from Kayak Fishing, or Georgia Kayak Fishing. How you doing tonight, Dino?
Hey, buddy. How y'all doing?
Dino.
What's happening?
Yeah, man.
Hey.
So.
It's been a while since I've been on.
Yeah, well, he's been busy, man. You know, he's the vice president of the Georgia Kayak Fishing, and saw him at the annual meeting. Then they
it
went
looks
down.
Like you got a nice slice of weather for the weekend in Georgia.
Yeah, it's hot, though, brother. It's hot.
Time for some night fishing.
Yeah, no doubt. It's up in the close to 90s here, and the humidity is just...
Just
stifling,
huh?
I mean, you walk out the front door and you just sweat, you know. So I'm so ready for fall, man. Ready to see the leaves start changing and cooling down and redfish. I'm ready to hit the coast for some bull reds and, you know, I'm just ready for the cool temperatures to hit.
Really I'm a firm believer that the fall brings the big fish everywhere.
I agree. Totally. I know we believe that the cooler temperatures bring in the big sheephead, too, because they say they spawn better when the temperatures, you know, in the winter months. So I don't know, but that's usually when we catch a lot of our bigger sheephead in the winter months.
I love that kind of fishing, too. You know, it's funny. Everything we read, everything we talk about on the radio, it's all about reds and striped bass and halibut and yellowtail.
Yep.
And I am happy to fish for any odd other species that's going to bite.
Yeah, I like to mix it up, you know. I mean, I like, you know, a lot of people here on the coast of Georgia consider a sheephead a trash fish. You know, all they eat is barnacles and crustaceans. Well, to me, it sure is an awful tasty trash fish, you know.
I was going to say, to me, they taste like crustaceans. They taste like what they eat.
Yeah. We like them. I mean, they're to us, they're pretty tasty, you know. We eat a lot of them. Real white, flaky meat, you know.
No,
yeah,
I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
And also joining us here on Buzzards Row is, also joining us here on the Buzzards Row is Mr. Becker. How are you this evening, sir?
Doing very well. Happy to be here hanging out on the, hanging out left of the bridge just watching things go by.
Yeah. did you have to take up arms or was it solved politically?
I'm crawled into the foxhole at the moment. I'm just, like I said, just going to peek out with the periscope every now and then, just see who's still standing.
Right. Okay.
Where are you located there, Becker?
Down in Apollo Beach, Florida. Treeherder was referring to an earlier conversation about, domestic intranquility, not involving me, but that I wasn't sure if I'd have to referee tonight. So,
yeah. Thankfully.
All right. So, well, I think the only bad part about coming into fall right now is that it is one of the most active time periods for inclement weather, and unfortunately, my plans for the weekend have been blown out of the water, literally, with 30-knot winds they're calling for Saturday morning for our fishing time. So it looks like the clone and I are going to stay in Georgia for the weekend. So doesn't seem much use to go down to Panama City Beach when they're calling it 6 to 9 foot with 30 knots of wind all weekend long.
Yeah, you got a lot of little storms welling up there. You might get a little tropical depression coming soon.
Yeah, and the from when they first called it this morning, the models have changed somewhat, and they initially had it look like it was going to go like northwest to, you know, toward the panhandle of Texas there.
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
But actually, this evening's models have it kind of jogging that direction, but then it looks like there's another cold front coming down, so that'll turn it to the right and give it a kind of a northeasterly flow. Basically, looks like coming across the boot there of Louisiana up into Mobile and across Alabama towards Atlanta.
It's just going to keep blowing.
Yeah, they say it right now, if it doesn't, I mean, those are the models, if it forms up, they say right now it could sit there all weekend and form up and drop about 20 inches of rain in the Louisiana panhandle area there, Florida. So
yeah, the challenge is it's got nothing to push it out. There's nothing really to steer it or move it anywhere.
Yeah, it's a couple of days before the next frontal area moves through. So I always enjoyed the meteorology classes and stuff. So But
our only issue on the Pacific right now is a big swell coming out of the south, and you know how the news blows everything up. So they're talking about Labor Day weekend, great weather, but dangerous surf at the beaches. Good thing about this area, we've got Bodega Bay and Tomales Bay, which are completely protected from the surf. So if the itch gets too bad, we can always sneak into a protected spot as long as the wind's down. The wind doesn't look like it's going to be bad at all. Hopefully I'll get out there. We're looking at Sunday.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so we're, our plans have changed for the weekend. But, you know, what happens, you know, you turn around, you get lemons, let's go for some lemonade, and it looks like we're probably going to load up some dirt bikes and take them up into the hills and rage.
Great.
Yeah. The 13-year-old, he's like, fishing or dirt bike riding? I could do either one.
He's easy to please.
Yeah, he's, you know, he's flexible, so. And joining us from the east coast of Florida, and where are they? There they are. That means it's time to hear from the mermaid. How are you, Dee?
I am good. How are you guys?
Oh. Yeah, we're like...
Is it?
Sounds like the old guys on the Muppets, right? You know, the guys up in the balcony there? It's terrible.
Right. Sorry I'm late.
No, it's cool. We're just kind of moping around because the weather forecast kind of... Spike's the only one out there in California that looks like he's going to get some fishing in.
The window of opportunity.
Yeah. What's it looking like?
You gotta grab them wherever you can.
Yeah. How's it look over on your side of the coast there, Dee?
Well, it, again, wind-wise, it depends on where you're launching from, and you take advantage of what you can based on a certain, you know, 1 or 2 mile radius if you have to. So it's going to be breezy from the east for 2-3 days. But I got a surprise phone call from my son, who is going to fly into Orlando tomorrow. So what do? Fish or go see your kid? I think I'm going to fish. No, I'm kidding.
Give him a big hurrah.
Fish.
Yeah, right? He's going to Disney. I have to tell you something really interesting because I think you guys will all enjoy this. He came over a couple years ago, and we did the Disney tour after he got out of the Marines. And I, you know, that's when the big hype was about getting a discount because you're military. So I said, oh, get in line. Oh, my God, you'll get a discount. I have no idea how much the discount is. I think I might have mentioned this once before. Did you know they gave him an 82-cent discount for being a non-resident to go to Disney?
82 cents.
He waited an hour and in line for an hour to find out it was 82 cents.
Okay, let me tell you where to take him. Because I've been
there.
Oh,
I'm not taking him anywhere.
Make sure that he understands this. Write this down. It's called Shades of Green. Now,
okay.
He doesn't still have a card, though, an ID card, does he?
Oh, yeah, he does.
He does? Okay.
He still works for the government.
Okay.
So
Shades of Green. It's on the site. He needs to go to Shades of Green. It's like a resort there, and it's Shades of Green. Get it? The green as far as military goes, and they have a ticket office in there, and he can they offer some pretty good discounts in there and it doesn't matter as long as he has his little ID card and stuff. He should be able to go in there and purchase his tickets. And there is a pretty good discount. And actually, it's not a bad resort either, so.
Well, I have no idea. It's a spontaneous trip.
Yeah? So. There's got to be a woman involved.
No, actually. it's his best friend, so they decided to just fly in, I guess.
Fly in and go to Disney World.
It's party time.
Right.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
So,
do it.
But anyway, But other than that, this weekend should be a pretty good fishing weekend. I mean, the winds have kind of changed because of Irene and everything. It's been raining pretty much all night, and you wake up, everything is soaking wet and clean, mind you, if you look at it that way, from salt water. So you load up your kayak, you fish until 12, 1 o'clock, and then the winds kick up, and then the rains come in, and you're back off the water. So it's a good half day. I always push it a little bit, so I'm not usually back in until about 3, 4 o'clock, but... So it's okay. I mean, I don't have any complaints. But the north winds are going to start blowing. You know, manatees are now currently migrating south. I mean, I've run into like 6 of them today, or they ran into me. And we have the mullet run, so it's a good day to fish. I mean, I love it. You know, you just kind of hug yourself under mangroves and you watch for splashes of mullet coming out like waterfalls, and they're, you know, getting popped by jacks, trout. I caught a nice 28-inch trout the other day just by watching the pops coming out from under the mangroves. So good times to fish, good times.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, well, that's good. Hang on, let's see. We got... The man, the mystery man himself, the bearded one, Chuck. Chuck, are you there?
I'm here, sir.
So what's the report from your end of the world, man?
Giant redfish.
Really? That good?
Giants. The giants have moved in.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's the time of year when the big breed of redfish start to school up and do their thing in the north end of the river.
Cool.
And up in the lagoon too. So if anyone's out looking for 40-plus inch fish, they're starting to get thick up there. North. I don't know why my phone is doing that right now.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So... they're up there in the north end of the Indian River, and then also all over the Mosquito Lagoon, not just specifically in the south end, which is where everybody, for whatever reason, tends to want to go. So north of Beacon 42, around Holover, over by Cucumber, down in the south end. So, you know, they're scattered everywhere. Big schools of, just giant fish. So, oh, and the snook bite inside Port Canaveral for the first few days of snook season have been actually really, really good. So it's been interesting.
That's right. Snook opened up midnight, right?
Mm.
September 1st?
Yep. September 1st. So, yeah, it's one of those you got to love it, but at the same time you hate it.
Right.
Because it's only a 4-inch slot. And
what is the slot?
28 to 32.
Okay.
So where I fish for snook, you rarely ever catch a 32. Most of them are much bigger than that there in the port. So, yeah, there's areas of the port where you can go and fish. And when I say port, for those that are listening that aren't familiar with where I'm at, it's Port Canaveral. Over on the Space Coast of Florida. There's areas you can go fish and throw lip plugs and that kind of thing and target those smaller fish. But most of the guys that are fishing inside the port are fishing with croakers or pinfish or pigfish. Mullet on occasion, but there's a lot of bycatch to be had when you fish with mullet. So.
What else would you pick up fishing with a mullet?
You get a lot of jack crevalle. You get a lot of bluefish. You catch a few redfish at night. There's been some giant flounder in the port because of Irene going by and making that bottom kind of dirty. Those fish have moved into the port, so a lot of folks don't target flounder at night thinking that they won't feed at night, but I promise you'll catch your fair share of them if you target them. And then What else? I don't know. That's pretty much it right now. Oh, we got an overabundance of ribbon fish. And for those of you that don't know what a ribbon fish is, it's definitely an interesting creature, to say the least, that inhabit the inshore waters of Port Canaveral and around Sebastian every now and again.
Is that like a
needlefish,
something... Chuck?
No, a ribbon fish is pretty much, well, if you can think of the ugliest creature on the planet and make it flat and shiny and give it the ability to swim backwards, that's pretty much a ribbon fish.
Huh.
They're actually a great kingfish bait, king mackerel bait, and the guys who catch them commercially sell them for upwards of $4 and $5 a piece. And you can go out
they
and
sell
catch
live
one
or
these things. What's that?
They sell them as a live bait or frozen?
No, it's a frozen bait.
Huh.
They're too aggressive to keep alive. The thing about them is it's actually kind of interesting. There's a whole science behind the way you keep these things when you catch them, if you're going to keep them for bait. You really want to catch them as soon as you hook them. Get them in the boat as fast as possible, unhook them, and throw them right into a brine, an ice cooler with some salt water and some salt.
Right.
Really super cold to get them to pretty much die right there on the spot. And then you want to be real careful with the next few you put in. And as you stack them in, you just want to make sure that they're not biting at each other. Because any tears in the skin or any small nicks or abrasions in the flesh, then the kingfish guys will not buy them. Because once you start trolling them, then they start falling apart.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But they usually... Go ahead.
They're awesome baits for kings. Big smoker kings.
Yeah. King
mackerel. Go ahead, Chuck.
King mackerel. They're also great for a wahoo bait. A lot of guys catch wahoo on them as bycatch for fishing for kings. But they're fun to fight, honestly. I mean, I don't mind catching them. They're ugly, and like I say, they're kind of crazy. Somebody should Google it real quick and see if you... I'm not in my... or on my computer, or else I'd throw a link up to show you a picture of one, but they got a mouthful of teeth that'll hurt you. Super long fangs for something so small. But yeah, they're kind of crazy. And like I said, they have the ability to swim backwards just like a normal eel. And so when you hook them and you think they're running from you, as far as like head turned, running away from you, most of the time they're just backing up.
That's interesting.
And I've caught them inside the Port Canaveral, and I've caught them way offshore bottom fishing on a big boat in like 270 foot of water. And the ones you catch out there are like 3.5 to 4 foot long. They're pretty big.
And that will get you a big old smoker.
Yeah, those the ones that size, we tend to try and shake them off the hook next to the boat because I don't want that thing loose in the boat, man. not that I'm a pansy or anything like that, but I've been bitten by the small ones, and I can't imagine getting a finger munched on by one that's 4 foot. So
they look pretty aggressive. They really do, but they are great baits for kings, and the guys will give you money for them, no problem. Especially when there's a SKA tournament.
Oh, yeah. I mean, those guys will follow the boats up and down. I mean, the tournament's up and down. They'll sell them, like I say, anywhere from... I've seen them go as high as $10 a piece, fresh
mm-hmm.
ones. And, you know, and same thing with... we've got some guys lately that have been catching some goggle eyes out of our port on their sabiki rigs. And goggle eyes is another one of those baits that's... I mean, I know guys that fish the SKA that'll pay $120 a dozen for them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's... It's interesting, man. We got a lot of cool stuff going on. And also, I don't know if the ocean's going to be calm enough next couple of days, but if it is, there's been a huge wad of tarpon off of Cocoa Beach, and they're all giant fish. They're all 80-plus pounders. So that's what's going on in and around my area, sir.
You're making me want to jump on a plane.
Jump on a plane and come down here, man. You know me and Dio take
fishing. Let's go, guys. Let's go.
Bring it on down.
You know, actually, when I got the word from Captain Linda this morning about the weather going south on us in the Panhandle for the weekend, I immediately say, okay, well, let's see. Wonder what Chuck and D look like. You guys are still, you guys have got rain forecast for all weekend too. So, I mean, when they put the little
chances are as bad as they
they're
say.
Like,
I mean, you know, it. Yeah, they'll say 30-50%, but it'll rain. You know.
Yeah. So I was tempted.
So it, I'm sorry. So it is worse than what they say. Sorry.
No, I was tempted, but no, it's like up in the panhandle, it's like 70-80% chance. So they're expecting to get a couple of inches of rain this weekend. But,
come on down.
But the thing is, you know, when you're looking at 30 knots of wind, I can fish in a little rain, but it's the wind that just whip your butt. So not necessarily mine, but it causes meltdowns in the clone. And so,
there's always that to factor in for you family folk.
That's right. You got to watch out for your clone, man. If the clone starts melting down, then you're like, oh my gosh, the day goes south quick. Let me go ahead and say good evening to the landing crew. He has joined us here on Buzzards Row. Hey, Mark.
What's going on, y'all?
Not much, man. Have you secured general quarter from general quarters up there yet?
Secured and is currently fishing underneath the Bay Bridge Tunnel.
Oh, you're fishing now, huh?
Right on.
Yep. I'm
right
doing
on, dude.
Multiple surf fishing. Yep.
Cool.
So if you hear me grunt, because I'm casting.
Better be, because we better hear some real music in a little bit, man.
I'm you know, lucky enough to use my my grandfather's old surf casting rod. It's a All Star. I don't know exactly the name, the numbers of it.
Right.
But it throws this bomber long a country mile. I almost spool the newel reel that it's on every time I cast it. I mean, it's just incredible how far I can cast with this thing.
Cool.
And it takes me at least 5 minutes to reel. And two bluefish are already on the beach working on a striper. So.
So you're not in your kayak. You're.
No, the bay, we've got a little northeast wind, so the bay's kind of choppy.
Right.
Didn't want to take the kayak out and something like that. But, yeah, just throwing the night plugs. You know,
cool.
Your bombers and your needlefish and your darters. For anyone from the northeast who fishes Montauk or Long Island or Block Island.
Right.
They know exactly what I'm talking about.
Very cool. No, I know the bombers. So, awesome. Well, you keep fishing, and we'll check in with you.
I'll try.
Catch something, man. Got to holler fish on.
Where'd that report come from, Chip?
I'm sorry, Spike, what'd you say?
Where'd that report come from?
That's Mark Wheeler. He's in Virginia Beach, man.
Oh, Virginia Beach. Great.
Yeah, and that's Landing Crew. He does the Wednesday night show.
Right, right.
Yeah, so Virginia Beach up there.
Making good use of his time right now.
That's right, man.
Exactly.
So
got the Bluetooth in, and I'm enjoying the calm water right now, surprisingly, with its northeast wind.
Yeah.
Barely any waves. I mean, I've never seen it this calm. I mean, there's a storm coming in, so.
Yeah. So that brings up a good point. And as I was trying to explain to somebody today, because I had Mr. Mopey Face on as I was walking around the job today, they're like, well, why wouldn't you go out with a little with the wind, you know? And well, they're forecasting an east wind, and in the Panhandle, east wind is not a good wind to fish on. So, what's a bad wind for you, Spike?
The Santa Anas are the worst, and that's the wind that blows offshore. And even though Santa Anas in Southern California, they blow all up and down the coast. If that wind is coming from offshore, I mean from land blowing offshore, that's the worst wind. And I think for any kayak fisherman, that's pretty much the way it is, because you want that wind to blow you to land if it gets too bad. But here, you know, you keep blowing, you're going to end up in Japan or somewhere.
Yeah.
And but, you know, that's the open ocean. You know, of the very few times that I've had to call, well, I guess it's not that few, but I've had to call a few rescues, and one of them was, the one that stands out the most, I'm guessing, was probably 2000,
two or three, and it was a New Year's Day rescue. I had put a post up on my bulletin boards, and the original subject of the post was, and what it was is traditionally when I was in Southern California, all of our buddies, we'd all hook up on New Year's Day and get a session in. So I posted it on New Year's Eve, and the original subject was free clinic, no blood test required. And then I decided that the no blood test crack was way out of range for my family nature forums, and I just left the free clinic. Well, four of us show up, and then four other guys who actually thought it was a clinic showed up. So knowing we had Santa Ana winds and being in no mood to spend 5 or 6 hours guiding these guys, I gave them my 12-minute surf zone, because we walked up to the beach, it's like 4-foot surf in their face. I gave them my 12-minute surf zone lesson, and we all made it out clean. Paddle out about 600-700 yards to the kelp beds, and I just said, let's tie up and fish around here and see what the wind does. Well, that wind came up within 10 minutes, blowing right over the top of the mountain, right down the beach and across the water. And the four of us who were experienced tied into the kelp, the four newbies turned in and headed for shore. What took them 10 minutes to paddle out in took about an hour and 20 minutes for them to hit the beach. The wind was blowing so hard, guys were getting knocked off their boats. I don't know how they were able to get back on them, but they managed. So a couple hours goes by, the wind's blowing, and long story short, I had to call a rescue, and my three buddies got rescued, and I was able to paddle away and make my own landing. And it was a funny thing, because I had to report this on the at kayakfishing.com, and I didn't want to say my buddies got rescued, but I didn't, so I just omitted the part where I paddled in. For 2 weeks, I'm taking condolence calls. Dude, so sorry to hear you had to get rescued, blah, blah, blah. And then right at the two-week point, somebody posts on the forum, and I've got this clip somewhere, 14-minute video of New Year's Day rescue. A guy who had been a client of mine, lived there at the beach, saw what was going on, ran up to his apartment, got a video camera, and this thing had an incredible lens because we were sitting quite a ways off the beach. He videoed this entire rescue. You guys saw Baywatch when you were kids, right? That's what they bring out is the Baywatch boat, that big orange boat with the open stern. So they loaded three boys and three kayaks up just in time for the wind to die, brought them back to the surf, dumped them back out. But it was total vindication for me when this guy came out with the video, because it clearly showed them getting rescued and me paddling away and the landing. And there must have been 8 or 10 park employees, lifeguards, waiting there to catch me on the beach, and it was quite a scene. But, yeah, that's our wind, the offshore winds. Those are the dangerous ones.
And the Santa Anas, having lived in Southern California for a while, that's like a oven blowing in your face too.
Down in Southern California, they get really, really hot. You're right about that.
You just go to your oven after you've got it set at about 400, and that thing puffs in your face.
You don't want to forget your water on a day when blowing like that. That's for sure. I tell you, we were talking about it today. California has been a real mild summer this year. We haven't seen, in the coastal regions, especially central and northern California, there's been a lot of fog. That's why we're glad September is here, because just by nature, that should cut the fog down. But we haven't had, even in southern California, you're used to getting 3 or 5 blistering triple-digit heat waves. And we just haven't had probably but 1 or 2, and they haven't been that bad, aren't lasting that long. The heat comes on, but it's not getting that hot, and it's only lasting a couple of days. So I'm attributing it all to global cooling myself.
Right. That's what the scientists...
Every year is different. We got a lot of bioluminescence in the water right now. We've got a strong red tide. Warnings came out. Even though shellfish is off-season, they're worried about people not being aware of it. And there's a thick red tide. That's a big die-off of plankton in the water.
Yeah.
And at night, when the waves stir up or when you're paddling through the water, any movement in the water creates fluorescent bioluminescence. And it's really beautiful. So we just drive down to the beach, watch the waves crashing in if we're not going for a paddle.
Yeah, that's
funny,
cool.
Michelle and I went to Puerto Rico a couple months ago,
And there are a couple areas there that promote kayaking in the bioluminescent bays. And I'm like, you know, that's like paying to swim with the manatees.
So let me roll
back.
All right, hang on. Dino, when you're fishing over on the coast, man, what makes for a bad day for wind for you? Dino, you there? I think we might have lost Dino. Am I on? How about you, Mr. Becker? What's a bad day of wind for you so far?
Right out of the west. All depends. If back in the south shore here and on the flats, west wind, anything over about 8 to 10, it's got a long way to come across the bay and get things built up, and it gets a little choppy. It also mucks everything up enough that it's kind of turns the fish off. And then out for tarpon off Clearwater on Indian Rocks Beach, again, anything out of the west starts kicking up the surf and kinds of turns that first 300 yards off the beach into kind of a washing machine. Not
right.
Much fun.
Hmm. And D, how about you? What's a bad wind for you over there?
That's a really tough one because we have both shores to be able to fish. We have a west and east bank that is awesome. So I would have to say anything north and south.
Mm-hmm.
Today was actually quite a challenging day. I mean, we had gusts to 20, and if you weren't in the right spot, you would have a little bit of chop. Not a little, actually, quite a bit of chop. But it's enough to turn the fish off. I mean, today was a completely and utterly challenging day with the wind. So depends on where you're actually launching from. But for me, it's a north and south, straight north, straight south.
Mm-hmm. Chuck, about similar for you?
Amen, sister.
Yeah. There's nowhere to hide from it.
Not really. I mean, we've got some areas up here in the north end where, I mean, if it's coming out of the north, you can go up there and fish the very north end of the river and kind of get a little bit of protection from it just being what it is, you know, the north end of the Indian River. But, and we've got some creeks and canals and stuff you can sneak down, but it just makes for miserable paddling conditions once you come out of those areas. So, yeah, mm-hmm. If it's north and it's blowing more than 5 to maybe 8, I'm just not even into it. It's a waste of a day for me. I stay
home.
Yeah.
And Mark talked about his east wind there building, and joining us now on the Buzzards Row is our friend from West by God, Virginia. Hello, Kayla.
Hello, Chip.
How are you tonight?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
We're doing good. We're all moping about because the weather's going to be bad this weekend, so.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Everybody's crying about it. I'm sorry about that. I'm going to have a great weekend.
But Wheeler's on the beach fishing over there. Did you catch a fish, Mark?
Yeah, I got one hooked up right now. Get some.
All right.
Drag. Woo.
Hold the phone down there. Hold your mic down. Quit giggling.
I got the Bluetooth thing, so I'm halfway up in the waves. Hang on.
Oh, okay.
Hey, he's got that.
Right.
He's got that Jimmy Houston TV drag set.
Yeah.
Oh, can't wait to see what this one is.
Right, I'll help you.
Jimmy Houston laugh down.
I'll help you out a little bit.
Thank you.
Hang on, Mark.
All right, he's coming. Hang on.
What you got, man?
Kind of feels like a bluefish right now.
Mm.
Kind of doing the side-to-side action. Not much of a real bulldog yet, but feels bluefish-ish.
Yeah.
Hang on. Yeah, it's a bluefish. He just came up. There he is. All right. Hang on.
All right. So Caleb Mark's fishing.
Nice. That's awesome.
Hey, Caleb. Spike here.
Spike is on the line.
What?
The promotions department tells me that there's still a video going out for you. I think we had that call about 2 months ago. And I was wondering how you got hit by the hurricane.
Irene.
Yeah.
She's in West Virginia.
Well, my water looks like chocolate milk right now, but I'm doing pretty good.
You didn't get much rain?
Well, we got a little bit of rain, and my kid has been flipping out all week because every time the wind blows, she thinks that that's the hurricane coming to us. But it's pretty much just ruined. Well, actually, I'm actually kind of excited in a way because I've got a lot of new, like, logs and things coming down the river that are going to make some new habitats. So
right.
It might end up being a good thing, but it's a mess right now, just the water.
Yeah, one of those houses.
I know from being in Mexico all those years when we had the hurricanes come through that the weeks immediately after the hurricane threw off the bite. But generally, a couple weeks after a storm would come through, the bite would just go on fire.
Yeah, I haven't been having any problems. Not yet.
Good.
So I do have a video coming still.
You do. It's sitting there ready to go. We'll get it out this weekend.
That sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you, darling.
How about some stickers, Chip?
We're working on that one too, Kayla.
In fact,
I'm not going fishing this weekend, it's on my clipboard right here. Is that another one, Mark?
No, it's still the same one.
Oh, he's playing it. He's playing it now.
Yeah. Like Becker said, he's got the Roland Martin drag set. It's like,
he's dragging him back and forth next to the boat, trying to make him jump like Bill Dance.
Yeah. Look at that one. He's gonna jump.
Right before he hit the beach, he decided he's gonna take off. I got him. Hang on. And there he is. About a 5-pound bluefish.
Nice.
Looks great on radio, man. I don't know why you said 5 pounds. I would have said, 15 or 20.
I didn't even need the TV picture for that one. Thank you.
It looks great on radio. So, all right, man. Go back and get another one now.
Oh, just released him. Going back for another one. He only had the back hook, which makes me want to change lures. Change colors.
Something.
But I'm lazy right now.
All right.
I'm lazy. Going back out.
Right.
All right, there he goes.
You know, Chip, you were asking about.
Go ahead, Spiker. Right. I'm sorry.
You're talking about the wind conditions and everything, and I just can't let that topic go by without talking about drift chutes and sea anchors. You know, I don't know if I've said it on the show before, but I've said it 1,000 times. If you take an aerial shot of 50 fishermen in the southeast, when the wind comes up, you're going to see a lot of those boats put out a drogue, put out a sea anchor. And if you look at 50 boats on the Pacific when the wind comes up, you're going to see 50 boats leave. And it's just that fishing mentality that changes from region to region. But I have time and again said that the sea anchor is definitely the most important accessory on my kayak. It adds hours to every day if that breeze comes up. And simply, a lot of people think in their head that you're throwing that drogue out to catch the current. But the truth is, it's not a current thing, it's a wind thing, and the sea anchor deployed off a kayak slows you down enough in a drifting situation to make a presentation to the fish that otherwise would just be blowing by it way too fast. And I attribute the sea anchor, when it comes to especially a lot of fish that you drift for, salmon, halibut, half of the great fish I've ever caught have been with that sea anchor deployed.
Cool. So. Anybody else use a drift sock?
Yep.
Mr. Becker. Now, did you start using it here, or had you used it in a previous life?
I had used it in a previous life on the bass boat,
right,
for you know, position holding when we're trying to move. Actually, I had a couple different ones on the boat. Had one that was a bunch of long lengths of sail canvas. It wasn't shaped like a you know, like a traditional drift chute, like a parachute or something, to create that much drag. But it was about 7 or 8 pieces of 7 or 8 foot long by 4 inch wide sail canvas, all tied together on one end. It looked kind of like a big string mop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I could toss that either over the bow or over the stern to allow me to position the boat to drift the way I wanted it with relation to the wind. You know, you could position it up along the rail to kind of basically adjust the drift angle of the boat. And then, you know, I had a drift chute, and I've got a drift chute here for both for fishing in the wind and as kind of a speed break in the boat, assuming I ever hook up on a tarpon in the kayak, mm-hmm. You know, to try and keep the from breaking the sound barrier on the water.
Right.
You know, that if I can interject something, that was a thought I had with tuna and getting yanked around by tuna and putting my sea anchor out to give me a little break and a little, and I got to tell you, it almost threw me in the water. It robbed me of all my control. So I'm interested to see what happens when you get that big tarpon.
Well, the one I have has the outflow end of the anchor is adjustable.
Uh-huh.
So you can adjust it for aperture, basically.
Yeah.
And I've got it turned almost all the way open when it's on standby on the back, you know, in the back well of the kayak.
Right.
When I'm tarpon fishing, I'm just looking for a little bit of drag and a little bit of extra resistance to allow me to put a little more pressure on the fish.
Sure.
I think you're right. You know, going that speed and then throwing that out would be like throwing an anchor off a motorcycle.
It really, even when I got the boat stopped and it was the fish, me and the sea anchor, it just felt so sketchy. Again, I was 2 miles offshore and by myself.
Oh, well, there's that.
That makes it a little sketchier.
Yeah, I'm just looking for something to put a little bit of extra drag, a little bit of extra pressure on the fish. You know, I can adjust the angle of the line with a rod angle, but just that little extra oomph back there.
Do all of you fish in that skinny water? Most everybody uses a rudder on their kayak.
I don't have a rudder.
Question, I'm asking.
No, I don't. I don't use a rudder.
No,
I know a lot of guys that don't. I do, but I've got a shoulder issue that, and my boat is really light, very very smooth on the bottom, very rounded. You know, no molded in keel or anything else. It's a Kevlar fiberglass boat.
Oh,
so
nice.
When the wind picks up. Well, all right. If a moth flies by too fast and creates a draft, the boat will tend to weather vane a little bit. So I find the rudder real helpful for that. And also it helps a lot with tracking, just because
right,
the bottom
sure.
of the boat is so slippery.
Sure.
But I see, you know,
that's
tons
the
of other guys out there with no rudder who have no problem whatsoever. You know, just you put an extra stroke in on the right or the left every now and then.
Yeah. I don't think for the plastic boats, the sit-on-top boats, that a rudder is necessary, especially among the popular fishing models. But I do think that you get a good installation on one, it definitely adds benefit, like you said, to tracking, speed, and all that.
Dee, do any of your boats have a rudder?
No, not one of mine. Actually, I have a Skeg on my 2008 models of the Native Ultimates, and they did away with those Skegs, but people are complaining that they really, really would like to have them instead of buying a rudder, you know?
And the Skeg, if I remember,
it's not quite as deep, but it was a really nice thing. Unfortunately, I can see why they did away with it. There's a cabling issue because you have to use the cable to drop it down and bring it back up, and if you don't take care of it, it pinches the cable and you're done. So,
right.
But I really wish I had one on my 14.5, a rudder, definitely. Even better, a trolling motor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A paddling boy.
Yeah.
Oh, paddle boy, take me over here.
Rodrigo, to stand in the back.
You know, that said about rudders, of all the installations I've done on my own boats over the years, and I've just been through so many different models, and we keep so many different models in the rotation, I can't tell you that there's one boat that I have between here and the Mexican border that has a rudder application that I'm happy with. There's always, you know, Dee was talking about cabling, or somebody was talking about cabling issues. There's always some kind of issue with a rudder system on these boats. But, again, it's, you know, what it's just fishing.
Yeah. You got a rudder there, Kayla?
No, sir.
No rudder.
Kayla, you're fishing the rivers, aren't you?
I am. Well, sometimes.
You get out in the ocean and salt?
Around here.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm heading there. Like, I have so many plans.
Nice.
Yes. Like, within the next couple of weeks, I will be in salt water.
Sounds like she's got that summer fishing vibe going strong.
That's right. You're gonna show up in Charleston for our boondoggle there which weekend is that? Columbus Day weekend.
Yeah, I thought that was like this. Oh yeah. Okay.
The 7th.
I have every intention on that.
7th through the 10th of October, we're gonna be in Chucktown, Charleston.
Nice.
Yeah.
I plan on being there. I was just thinking, like, with you guys, like, being all bummed out and whining about the weather.
That's us.
Wow.
We should have
hold it.
Boondoggle in West by God, Virginia this weekend.
Yeah, the hell with
I
that.
I have a float trip planned, and it's going to be pretty awesome. And you guys aren't going to be fishing. Thank you.
I have to put my fish like a girl shirt on because I've been accused of whining now. All right, no more whining.
Oh, don't even go there. What? Yeah, I'm creating. I fish like a girl shirt with a big-ass bass on the back of it.
Very cool.
Like one that I've caught. Like
okay.
A silhouette of me and my fish or something.
Have you seen the one with the...
It's a little fun.
I sent one to Dee a while back, but there is a shirt, and it's a girl with a ball cap, and she's holding up a couple of largemouth bass, and it says, "Don't you wish your girlfriend could fish like me?" You ever seen that
I
one?
Love it. Oh, my gosh, I need that.
Don't you? It said, "Don't you wish you fished like a girl?"
No, that was another one. There was one that said, "Don't you wish your girlfriend could fish like me?" And then there was, yes, I fish like a girl.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, there was a couple
that's
of different ones. I thought we should put Dee's picture in there holding up one of them big giant trout.
Well, we talked about that. It would have been a perfect photo if we had a redfish on there because I don't do any freshwater, but anybody freshwater would love that shirt.
Oh,
yeah. I mean... You know, back in the day, I did the freshwater thing, but
yeah, you got hooked on salt water.
I got hooked.
That's
right.
Yeah, I just gotta find a job, and I'll be there too.
All right. Well, we're running up on our hour here, and
so soon.
Yeah, I know, right? Time flies when you're having fun, and.
Don't be scared.
I tell you, I'm gonna break out an announcement tonight, as far as the Kayak Angler's Choice Awards go, if you're listening to the show or the podcast to kind of hear what's going on with that, we got hacked the other day, and over the period of just a few minutes, a couple of thousand votes got racked up by some ingenious hacker. So we're having some problems with that. But I've sent out I put together an email. I'm going to send it out to all the nominees and see what their would do on that. So that'll come out here in another day or so. But tomorrow night, yes, folks, we will now have Kayak Fishing Radio every night of the week and sometimes twice. But Friday night, we will welcome Mr. Dennis Spike. to the Kayak Fishing Radio Network, and he is going to take up the Friday night program, and it will be 8 o'clock Eastern time. And Spiker, is, if you enjoy listening to him talk about methods and techniques and all of that, he's going to be more than happy to share all of that with you. Isn't that right, Spiker?
I appreciate you having me on board, you guys. Thank you very, very much. I really look forward to the opportunity to talk on a lot of fishing. Unfortunately, I think I just spent all my useful information tonight, so I'm digging on what I'm going to talk about tomorrow night.
You threw out
no,
all
we'll
your
have
smoke
a good
and thunder.
Show, and thanks so much. I'm really excited about it.
So cool. So 8 o'clock most
eight
nights
o'clock?
Of the week now.
I think that makes it 5 o'clock Pacific time.
Right, 5 o'clock Pacific, and Spiker will be on there taking your calls and talking. And he'll work his format out, and we'll see how he does on the Friday night lights. So,
thanks, you guys.
Yeah, man. So, Spiker, you're going fishing this weekend, and actually you're going to do a show first.
I'm going to do a show tomorrow night, and I'm going to get out either Saturday morning or Sunday morning. And like I said, if I can't get on the open coast, we're going to head into probably Tomales Bay and do some fishing there. We did get some halibut reports, and there are silver salmon you can catch in the bay. You can't hang on to them. That's a protected fish. But any day on the water is going to suit me this weekend. Hope everybody has a great, healthy, happy, and safe holiday.
Very cool, man. All right.
You too.
Yep. Thanks. Mr. Becker?
Hello.
Sir?
Your game plan for the weekend?
Well, my game plan for the weekend was to fish. However, we've got we're going to get out and fish the flats. I was going to try and get out with Junior Fly Reel and get him out there and for his second kayak fishing trip. Hopefully not get bumped by a manatee this time. We're going to get out on the flats, but again, the wind and the weather are not looking good. They're talking winds gusting 25 to 30 out of the west. And I think we had a conversation earlier here about just how much fun that would be.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got a couple of spots where we've got the opportunity to get into some backcountry, Simmons Park area, where there's some channels, some backcountry flats where the flounder kind of tend to hang out, the trout kind of pool up back in there. So with any luck, we'll get out and do some paddling around and some fishing, maybe not as much catching as we'd like, but I want to get him out again in the boat. So,
cool. It's a worthwhile endeavor to take your clone out and go fishing with him. Dee, you're going to Disney World, right? No, what are you going to do?
No, I don't do Disney. all that gum under your feet? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
They don't do gum there either. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know that, but they do not allow gum in Disney.
They frown on it, yes.
I don't know exactly what I'm doing, but I'll tell you the winds don't look favorable until like Tuesday or Wednesday of next week anyway. But I do have a couple people that are in town that want to do some kayak demoing, so I'm going to get together with them and my dealer and get them out on Hobies and Natives and some other whatever they want to try out and get them into the kayak world. So it'll be a fun week, and I get to see my son. Yay!
So now, Dee, if you're doing that as a guide, are you doing that gratis, or are you charging for your time on that one?
Oh, no, that's gratis.
So there is another thing that if the folks are listening to our podcast and all, that's a great thing to do is to, if you got questions, you're just getting started, I was in Academy Sports the other day, and there was this guy, he was scoping out some of the Pelicans, you know, and the Perception kayaks that were on the wall. And I said, you know, look up Georgia Kayak Fishing online, yakangler.com. Find somebody, you know, that's local to you. Now, this guy was on the other side of town from me, but you know, that's a great opportunity there to spend a little time demoing kayaks and being with someone who's experienced that can kind of steer you in the right direction. That's great.
And it's not all about being endorsed by a specific company either. Because everybody has needs different from my own. I mean, I love the Native Ultimate. Obviously, everybody knows that. But someone might want a Versa board, or somebody might want a sit on top. Doesn't have to be a Native or anything. You know, it could be a Hobie, an Emotions kayak. It could be, you know, God forbid, you know, the cheap ass ones. You know, but you gotta try everything before you buy, because, in my opinion, it's always an investment, at least in this day and age. You know, you don't want to throw that money away, and you want to buy something you really like. You can't give it back later, you know.
That's
right.
You can
sell it, maybe, but you know, you still have the depreciation similar to a vehicle. So
yeah, you go out there and get a little oyster rash on it, and you can't give it back.
Right. Yeah, if you can find someone that has a dealer that is willing to give you a demo day, basically, do it. I mean, we even all talked about it on the show.
Right.
Get a demo day together and have people come by. So.
We've actually worked out with the Scuba Stand there in Charleston is trying to work it out with the local kayak dealer there to provide some kayaks for demos. Have them out one of the days for the boondoggle there. So it's cool. You can tell people, you can sit them down. When we had the boondoggle in Jacksonville, a couple of folks came out, didn't have kayaks. We spent time with them, let them play around, showed them our kayaks, how we had them rigged and stuff. They saw things they liked, they saw things they didn't, and they all made purchases. So it's a great opportunity. So awesome. Well, enjoy your time out there, Dee.
Yay. Thanks.
Yay. Chuck, mm-hmm. Your plan, sir?
Yes, sir. Since it is the opening weekend of college football, there's a good possibility that I'm probably not going to get too terribly close to the water for very long.
Right.
But I am going to go kill a snook tomorrow. So that will happen.
Are you going to kill one, or are you just going to catch and release it?
No, if I catch one that's within that 4-inch limit, I'm killing them.
You're going to eat them. They are tasty.
They are delicious. And
yeah.
I normally practice catch and release on everything, so I got a couple of get-out-of-jail-free cards that I think the fishing gods will allow me to have. So
there's nothing wrong with harvesting one within the legal limits, man. Absolutely nothing wrong with it.
Absolutely not.
That's right.
I enjoy eating fish.
To go with to kind of tag on to what Dee was saying about the demo day thing, I've actually had quite a few people come into my shop lately because every now and again I just get a wild hair and I'll throw the kayak in the back of the truck just so people driving by will see it, maybe get them to come in and just ask about it or whatever. And I've had quite a few people lately wanting to do demo days and things like that. My problem is here, I don't have a dealer.
Right.
All of my dealers that were open in my area are all now closed. And, however, I have struck up a very good friendship with Mr. One David Sims from Action Water Sports over in Auburndale, Florida, who is basically the end-all, be-all for kayaks in the state. He is our main distributing point for most of the lines. Hobie included and Emotions, and he's trying to get Jackson's now per my request and a couple others, Malibu's, and I think, I don't know, there's a bunch of others that he's got too. But I talked with him one time about doing demo days and things like that, and so it might be a possibility where I can take a little road trip over and see him and load up a trailer.
That's Pops, right, Spike?
Brand.
What's that?
Sims, isn't that Pop Sims?
No, that David and his brother, the Pops, pretty much does all their Caribbean stuff.
That's true. Okay.
But yeah, no, that's in Auburndale, Florida.
Right.
Yeah.
And they are, man. They've got a warehouse that'll blow your mind.
Yeah, is it not sick? It's the craziest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, I walked in and it was like, you ever like imagine what it sounds like when you reach the pearly gates?
Kayakers singing.
Yeah,
very right. Funny. Angels are stinging, and
can I just stay here for a while?
Right.
Can I play with your toys?
I know your hour's up, man. I want to just real quick tell you a funny story.
No, that's cool. Go ahead.
I went there to pick up my Emotion Grand Slam, I'd never met Dave before. Spoke to him a number of times on the phone, but never met him. I walked in, and I'm standing there like a kid in a candy store. Like, man, just I didn't even know what to do. Like, there's kayaks everywhere. This place is, like, absolutely ridiculous. And most of them are still bubble wrapped from the manufacturer. Mm-hmm. And you've got walls and walls of PFDs and paddles and accessories. And it's just, like, as far as you can see, it's like, does this building ever even end? You know? And
bigger on the inside.
This guy comes up and you know, asks me, hey, man, can I help you? And I'm like, I can't even speak, man. I was just like, I'll take one of each.
Yeah.
Put them in.
How many
truck,
can you get in my truck?
God, man, what a place. I mean, it really is. It's awesome. It's not the kind of place where you're going to go. You're going to walk in. It's going to look like Gander Mountain, or it's going to look like Bass Pro Shops. It's a warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
But by God, man, if he does not have it, you do not need it.
The Home Depot of kayaking, huh?
Oh, it's the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Cool.
So, yeah, I definitely am going to try and do some of that. I think maybe me and Dee can maybe join forces and do like a kayak fishing radio / yakangler.com / whatever demo day for
Fish Like a Girl Day.
Folks over here. Hey, man, I'll wear a shirt.
Cool. Very good. And you know what, Chuck? We need to talk about, I think it's not this, it's next Monday, a week from Monday, they're going to have the Panama City Kayak Fishing Association meeting. They do it on Monday night, so I was wondering if you'd be interested in calling them and getting them on the line and chatting with them. That's Captain Linda Cabot up there in Panama City, so...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd love to get Linda on the phone. That'd be awesome.
And
I wanted
she works on Wednesday and Thursday.
Spiker.
Say what?
Oh, so I wanted to welcome Spiker to the Kayak Fishing Radio family. It's great to have you, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, brother. Thank you very much.
It's,
but I'll tell you, I've got some cool things coming up, too, for my show. We'll talk about it off the air a little bit.
Cool.
I'm trying to work on getting a couple of the guys from DOA on the phone, Jerry McBride and some of those guys, trying to get them on the show. And we have a local fishing club here. It's called the FSFA, which stands for the Florida Sport Fishing Association.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really good friends with the director of the club and the president and a bunch of the other people involved. So I think I'm going to try and get a couple of them to be a guest in the next couple of weeks. So listen out for that.
Nice.
All right. Sounds good, man. That's Chuck, Redfish Chuck, Chuck Levi. He's a Monday night host of Kayak Fishing Radio. Make sure you check his show out, 8 o'clock on Monday nights. He kicks off the week, seeing how you did on the weekend and letting you know what it's going to be like on the rest of the week. So, Mr. Wheeler, Paige and Mr. Fisher Wheeler.
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry.
Yeah, how you doing, man? You got another one yet?
I had one good hit, but I'm actually packing in, heading back to the truck. I got to be up at 5 a.m. for work.
So. You got it bad, Wheeler.
Oh, I know, right? I know.
So what's your game plan for the weekend, man? What's happening on your show next week?
Well, for this weekend, I've got a long weekend. I'm only got a half day tomorrow, so I'm going to spend the afternoon bass fishing. And then I've actually got some favorable winds and clear skies. Looks like I'm going to be heading towards the Bay Bridge Tunnel. I know if Rob DeVore is listening right now, host of the Tuesday Night Show, he'd be wagging his tongue out because I'm going after the sheep's head.
Oh, the sheepzilla.
Sheepzilla. I'm going to try for a handful of them. And actually this trip out to the surf, most people don't think about it, but if you can catch a fish from the surf, it'll pretty much tell you what's going on. I've been catching some chomper blues last night after the show and tonight. So that tells me that the water's cooling down. These big chompers are moving into the bay, which is pretty much unheard of this time of year. So that means that the stripers aren't far behind. And 4th of October is the opening of striper season here in Virginia. Pretty much the Wednesday night show, because it falls on a Wednesday, will be considered the striper opening boondoggle show.
my butt will be sitting in a kayak, fishing, doing the show at the same time for Striper. So
cool. You want us to run the board for you?
I have to put a helmet cam on him.
Yeah, man.
It'll be underneath the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel or the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel in the light line. So, yeah, I'll videotape it. No problems there.
All right, man.
But next week's show should be about, I'm not quite sure, actually. I haven't thought that far
ahead. That's all right. Don't worry. Kayla will call in and ask questions.
Welcome, Kayla, call in. Don't forget Wednesday night today. Call me.
Right.
Absolutely. I have lots of questions.
There you go. Kayla, what's your game plan for the weekend?
I am heading to the mountains. The Greenbrier Mountains. I think given the hurricane and all the rain y'all have had, it's probably going to be flowing nicely, and I can have a very nice float trip thanks to that, and do some trout fishing with the fly rod and hopefully find a couple muskie on the way. It'll take 3 days and then maybe ride the train back up back to my vehicle and out in the middle of bear country in the Hennessy hammocks.
Better pack you some meat there,
it.
Girl. Yeah.
Are you a Hennessy hammocks fan?
Yeah.
That sounds great. Mr. Becker?
Absolutely.
No, I just don't hear too many people who also hammock camp.
There's no other way to go.
I've got a couple Clarks as well.
Cool.
Yeah.
One of our local guides here, Randy Vining, he's a big hammock fan. So.
I think if you actually get in a hammock, like lay in one of the Hennessy hammocks, you would never want to be in a tent again.
Whenever I lay down,
light,
I don't ever want to get up.
Great.
I'm lazy enough. Do I really need a hammock?
Yeah, you got me sold. You had me sold on laying down. That was it. Me.
Have a great weekend, Kayla.
All right. So we're going to take it on out here. Yeah, do good. Make sure get some pictures in. We want to see them. Post them up.
I'm trying to add some right now.
All right. All right, so there we go, folks. That's it. Make sure you check it out tomorrow night, our new show, our new kayak fishing radio, Family Man, Mr. Dennis Spike. The Spike kayak fishing is easy with Spiker on Friday night. So give him a call, ask him some questions, and we'll see you next week. We're going to take it on out here with, let's see, is this here? Oh, no, let's see. Yeah, we'll take it out with the Redfish Chuck song. We'll see you all next week. I'm Chip Gibson. You're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio. Good night, all. Tight lines, take a kid fishing.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, Chuck. Good night, Kayla. Biker, see you tomorrow.
Hello.
Mr. Becker, have a good one.
Good night, Chip.